I was like 18, 19 years old, graduated high school, and me and a couple friends thought it'd be wonderful to go on a ski trip. And everything was getting set. They elected me to drive. And the night before, it had snowed a whole bunch, and so the conditions were going to be fantastic to ski. Well, I figured I knew the way to get there, so I didn't need any sort of map at all. And in fact, I knew this little road, small little road, that was sort of a shortcut on the way to the slopes. Well, turned down that road, and fortunately that road had not been plowed, so there was big snow and a lot of snow on the road, and I thought, oh my goodness, better get off of this road. So attempt to make a U-turn to try and get back onto the main road. And of course, the embankment there is there, and it's car comes to a stop. Get stuck. Big gaping hole there. Thought, okay, well, I'll try and grab out of it, accelerate some more, and dug deeper and deeper. And I, okay, gunned it, put the accelerator to the floor, and the tires just spun and spun, and the hole got deeper and deeper. Wasn't going to get out. Needed to be pulled or pushed out of that big, deep hole. Well, Aaron, Moses' older brother, he certainly knows what it feels like to get stuck into a deep, deep hole. And as we continue to look at our Exodus series here this morning, we'll see that Aaron gets himself into a big hole, a deep hole, and then he steps on the accelerator, and it gets even deeper and deeper, and he's stuck in a deep hole. Just to recap what has been going on, the children of Israel, God's people, the Hebrews, if you will, had been in captivity in Egypt. Moses was sent to lead them out of Egypt, and he does. After 10 plagues, the people of God get free. Moses, through God's power, the Red Sea is parted. Pharaoh and the chariots chase after the Israelites, but the Red Sea then washes out Pharaoh, and the chariots and God's people get into the wilderness, into the desert, if you will, for freedom. Then a couple weeks ago, they complained they needed water. God gives them water at Rephidim. And then last week, Exodus chapter 20, we saw that God gives them the Ten Commandments. Moses brings down from Mount Sinai, and we specifically looked at coveting last week. Well, today, Exodus chapter 32, it's this chapter is sort of sandwiched, if you will, between God's talk of a tabernacle that he is going to have his people build, and he actually gives instructions to that then later chapters, after chapter 32. But here in the middle of chapter 32 is God's people, and they're wondering what happened to Moses. He had gone up to Mount Sinai, and now he hasn't come back. So verse 1 of chapter 32 says this. It says, when the people saw that Moses was delayed in coming down the mountain, the people, God's people, the Israelites, gathered together and said to Aaron, make us a god who shall go before us. They've already forgotten about God, the true God, who had brought them out of captivity in Egypt and parted the Red Sea for them to cross safely. They have forgotten about that God, apparently, because now they come to Moses and they say, you know, they come to Aaron, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's up on a mountain somewhere. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses, but we want you to make for us a God, gods who will lead us, who will go before us. The people were being very impatient, waiting on Moses. We want to be satisfied now. And isn't that the case for us as well? Aren't we an impatient people who wants God to help us? Not in 20 years, not in 10 years. We want a God to help us right now. Now is the time when we're struggling. Now is the time we find ourselves in a hole. Now is the time we want a God to deliver us. We want help. And so we're sort of, in a sense, like the people of Israel. We are impatient. We want God to do it right now. They were growing impatient. And Aaron takes a wrong turn. Aaron takes a wrong turn. He offers them a God who supposedly would satisfy them right now. And you're probably familiar with the story of the golden calf. You know, Aaron comes to the people and says, hey, take off all your gold. Remember, they had plundered Egypt. When they left Egypt, they took a lot of the riches, the gold and things, out of Egypt. So they had all this gold. And so Aaron says to them, I'm going to collect all the gold. He melts it down and makes it into the form of a golden calf. A golden calf. Really? That's going to be their God. That's going to be their worship God. A golden calf. Aaron even goes as far as they make an altar to this God. They're going to worship him. They're going to give praises to this golden calf. And then Aaron goes even a step further. He gets himself into a deep hole. Exodus 32, verse 5. If we look at verse 5, it says, tomorrow we will have a festival to the Lord. Now, when we first read that, and just that single verse, we may think, oh, good, the people of Israel, they're back. They're going to make a festival to the Lord. And we think of God, don't we? Okay, they've come back to God. They're going to worship the Lord, have a festival to him. But no. The word Lord there is not referring to the true God. It's not referring to our God, who we worship. It's referring to that golden calf. It's referring to that idol. You see, Aaron had built even an altar, and they're going to worship this golden calf, and the next day they're going to have a festival. They're going to worship that God, the golden calf, the idol. Do we ever do that? Now, I don't mean we don't obviously build a golden calf and we don't worship a idol, if you will, this golden calf. But do we often exchange the real God for a fake God? And let me expand on that for just a second. You see, a God, a G-O-D, small G-O-D, is really anything that we place our highest priority on. Whatever it is that is most important in our life, that can become our God, if you will, and we end up worshiping it. Luther, in the Small Catechism, reminds us of what the first commandment means. You shall have no other gods before me. Well, what's that mean? We shall fear, love, and trust God. What? Above anything else. Above all things. But oh, how often do we as Americans popularize gods and make money or sports or our career or our family, something we place at a higher priority in our life than God himself. And so we are sort of like the Israelites. We may not be worshiping a golden calf, but maybe we're worshiping the $50 bill. You see, whatever it is that we place at a higher priority than our God, that becomes then our God. That's what we worship. Aaron certainly took a wrong turn. Aaron gets himself stuck in a hole, but then he does something even worse. As he's stuck in the hole, he hits the accelerator, and the tires spin, and he goes deeper and deeper into the hole. And we say, well, how? How can it get worse? They're worshiping a false god. They're worshiping an idol, a golden calf. How can it become worse? Oh, hold on. Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 of chapter 32 in Exodus says, and all the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Sounds innocent enough. However, if we look at that word play, the last word in that verse, this word doesn't mean that they went out and played a round of golf. It doesn't mean that they played a set of tennis. It doesn't mean that they were playing a football or baseball. No, that word, and most commentaries agree, that it's the word that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:8, that it means sexual immorality is what it means. And so they have disregarded already the sixth commandment that God has told them, that you shall not commit adultery, the one that we just heard read a few moments ago, that even if we look at a woman with the lustful intent, we've committed adultery in our heart. The Israelites have thrown that commandment out already, and they're having this play, if you will, this sexual immorality going on as they're worshiping this false god. And Aaron, the high priest, is right in the middle of all this. Oh, he's made a wrong turn. He's gotten stuck in a hole. And now he's hit the accelerator and it's a deeper, deeper hole. Folks, let's not hit the accelerator. I don't know how I can say this any more plainly, but do not hit the accelerator. When you're in a hole, when things are not going well, that is when we become vulnerable. That's the time when an old flame calls on the phone and they want to get together and talk. We want to be careful because the temptations come alluring as we're sitting deep in a hole, as we're in financial distress, or as we're in a relationship that's in distress, or no matter what it is that we're going through that's tough and difficult, Satan seems to always throw some temptations our way. And we are tempted to hit the accelerator and break that sixth commandment. Don't do it. Don't do something that you'll regret the rest of your life. Do not hit the accelerator. Moses. Now, if it was me, and probably, let's admit, if it was you, we would probably see this that God's people have done. They've forgotten about, me up on Mount Sinai. Now I come down, God sends me down, and what are they doing? They're worshiping a golden calf. They've fallen away from God. They're breaking the sixth commandment. They're doing all these terrible things. If I was Moses, I would say, okay, the heck with you people, and just wash my hands of the whole thing and say, adios. I give up. Yeah, God, take out your wrath upon them. They deserve it. But if we note, that's not what Moses does. If we look at verses 12 and 13 of chapter 32, Moses lifts up a prayer to God. He's conversing with God. He's begging with God, if you will. God, turn away from your burning anger and relent, or, take back or turn around from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as his name was later changed to Israel. Remember the covenant that you made, God. Moses brings them back to the covenant that God made years ago with Father Abraham. I will give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. A covenant that he cut, a promise that he made with Abraham to be their God, and we are to be his people. And that covenant then is fulfilled by the blood of Jesus Christ as he pours it out on the cross at Calvary. That covenant is fulfilled in Christ himself as he goes to the cross. Moses reminds God of that covenant that he made with our forefathers. And what's God do? He relents. He turns from his anger. And he doesn't take his wrath out on his people. That's what God has done for us. We've all been in a hole. We've all done things that are not pleasing in the eyes of God. We've been in that hole, and oftentimes we've hit the accelerator trying to get out, and we've found ourselves deeper and deeper in that hole. But we want to remember the covenant. Remember the promise that Jesus says on the cross, it is finished. The sin has been paid for. The sacrifice is complete. And that covenant has been fulfilled in Jesus' death and in his resurrection. And as we come again this morning, that covenant we remember in the body and blood of Christ. As he comes in the form of bread and wine, he says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, for the forgiveness all your sins. The covenant fulfilled in Jesus. He says, come to me. I forgive you your sins. I forgive you the fact that you were in a hole and you stuck on the accelerator and you got yourself deeper and deeper in a mess. I forgive you. I love you. You're my children. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Shall we rise and we pray together? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the covenant that you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Lord, the covenant fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in his blood, in his death, and in his resurrection. As you come to us, we are your children, and you love us so much, you have forgiven us all of our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.